Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Who's in Charge podcast. Today, we will be covering all things Northampton Town Football Club.
Shiwami!
I'm your host, Ewan Bassett, joined by Ross Allison.
Hello.
And our guest today is a season ticket holder, regular attendee of away matches, and a member of the Sixfields Travel Club, Rio Blanco Rivas.
Hello guys, lovely to be with you today.
So Rio, with Northampton Town's first season back in League One, following promotion having just ended, what are your takeaways from the last 12 months?
Well, I mean, overall it was a great success. We finished 14th, and you know, at the start of the season, we were actually favourites to go down. Northampton's got a bit of a reputation as a bit of a yo-yo club. Last couple times we went up to League One, actually, we ended up going straight back down. So, you know, the squad, the management, you know, all of them, they all really stepped up. You know, we had that core of a team, all players really playing their role, and that just contributed.
Not many new signings.
No. I mean, it was the team chemistry was really there. You could see that right from the first game. And, I mean, it was wins like the Derby win against Peterborough early in the season.
Yeah, that really kick-started the season. I mean, that did.
Yeah, the morale was just only going to go up from there. So, you know, it was a season that exceeded all expectations. At one point, there was even talk that we were going to push for the playoffs. That didn't happen, but it was still a very good season for
us. Yeah, absolutely. There was a very good run from, I'd say, Christmas into New Year.
Oh, yeah, that was incredible. I mean, before that Christmas period, we were all, you know, oh, are we going to stay up? Are we?
Yeah, but a lot of uncertainty.
And I mean, yeah, finished way, way above the relegation zone.
Very comfortable in the end.
Yeah, even with the last little blip of the last few games of the season where we lost a few, even that didn't change us, you know, really securing survival.
Yeah, as you said, relegation was very much on the cards at the beginning of the season. And after the first couple of games, things weren't looking great, but how did the team turn it around, and how did they end up staying up so comfortably?
Well, you've got to give a lot of credit to the actual internal structure of the club. You know, we secured safety despite spending absolutely nothing on transfer fees, and the fourth lowest out of any team on agent fees. So, you know, Northampton have one of the smallest budgets in this league, where a lot of teams don't really have to worry about this kind of thing. I mean, even in the League Two below, you know, we have the likes of MK Dons, Salford City, Wrexham now, who just went up. And all of them have really big budgets, you know, they can afford to spend a lot. Whereas Northampton, we really have to be frugal with our money.
Absolutely.
So you've got to give a lot of credit to, you know, the management and, you know, just that internal structure there that has helped us to secure such a good finish against all the odds, it has to be said.
You mentioned the restricted budget some of the smaller teams in League One have. How important are these loan signings for these smaller clubs?
Oh, what a question, Ross. The loan signings were a real key to our success this year more than any other year. I mean, the main guy really in that regard was Mark Leonard. He was on loan from Brighton, obviously a Premier League club, and he scored some absolutely incredible goals. And even beyond that, you know, other goal contributions. I mean, he was our player of the season, actually. And now, you know, it really shows how important it is for the player as well, because he's now being looked at by, you know, the likes of Celtic and Rangers. You know, he could be playing Champions League football very soon. And also we had Kieran Bowie. He's a big striker. He can play on the wing as well. He popped up with some really important goals. But also, you know, it can work the other way, because we had, you know, the likes of Tyree Simpson, who just really looked out of place in that team. And that's the thing with loan signings. Like, the player is not really connected to the club, so they're not going to perform with, you know, the fans in mind, the manager in mind. So it can work either way, but I really think this season the loan signings were integral.
I have to agree with that, Rio.
And also we can talk about free transfers as well. That was in the question, free transfers.
Yeah, it wasn't really asked. Okay.
And we can also talk about, you know, free transfers as well. As we mentioned, we spent nothing on signings this year. And that's the thing, kind of, even though this year was a bit of a departure in that, the team roster can change very quickly in the Football League. I mean, in 3 years' time, the team could be totally different. Like, our longest serving player is Sam Hoskins, and that is really an exception. So, there's a lot of changes, so that makes loan signings and free transfers all the more important, really.
You mentioned that you spent £0 on transfer fees last year. Do you reckon that'll have to change next year if you want to improve as a squad?
Well, it all depends. I mean, the retained list just came out, which shows us which players we're keeping. And we really are, apart from those two loan players that I mentioned, we really are keeping that solid core of a team. And it's only really the players getting released that, you know, wouldn't have got a look
bit,
in.
Bit part players.
Yeah, not, exactly.
Did you disagree with any players that didn't get retained?
I didn't actually. I actually went through the list, and every single one of them, I was thinking,
Good decision.
Yeah. You know, Danny Hilton's one of them. I mean, he's been absolutely awful for years, really. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a worse player for
that's
for
a statement. Bloody hell.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how he's going to find another job, but yeah.
Ross, staying on the subject of loan signings, how important do you think they are for the player itself, for developing their career?
Hugely important. I think it gets them game time, which they won't be getting at their parent club. Also improves them physically as well, going down into a harder, well, physical league from League One and League Two. It develops them as a player, and it gets them game experience as well at like a high level, not these youth teams that they go and play under 18s or... It's a totally different ball game, and 100% improves them.
Yeah, I mean, the whole under 21s is kind of almost obsolete now, because, you know, clubs are realising that these players are much better going off on loan to a lower division club than, you know, just messing about for a few years at the under 21 kind of level.
Yeah, 100%. It helps like them know the game as well at a high standard, because obviously they compare themselves to the players that they're playing against and knows. I'm better. I should be at a better standard than this, or
well,
I'm at the right level.
Hope that it should really, you know, motivate them to perform well. You know, managers are always checking up on the progress of their loan players, so it should really motivate them to improve their game.
Mm-hmm. Never fall in love with a loan player.
No,
eh?
No. That's what they say. Well, yeah, we had a bit of trouble this season. I mean, we're all very sad to see Mark Leonard go.
Yeah. After two seasons, he's out.
How on earth do you replace him, by the way?
Well,
it's going to be incredibly hard.
It is, because even...
It's possible.
Even when other players, like, you know, Sam Hoskins had a bit of a blip in form second half of the season, and Leonard was really one of the ones that was holding things together.
He stepped up.
Yeah, he really did. And his goals are only a small fraction of what he did.
You watch him play and he just dictates the midfield.
Yeah, for such a young player, you know, and for a lone player as well, it's really unique to see someone that commands such respect from his colleagues.
Would you go as far as saying if you didn't have him this season, you would have gone down?
I'd say
that's difficult to say, but I don't think so. Yeah. Just because the amount of points we finished above the relegation zone, I think it would have been a lot closer.
We're very close to the relegation zone, but it's hard to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. And onto the structure of the club, Rio. The club is owned by the man Kelvin Thomas. And how does his ownership differ from that of the previous regime?
Well, this is a big question for Northampton Town, because Kelvin Thomas, I mean, he's a great businessman, and he came in and really saved us at the last hour, you know, purchasing the club in 2016. We had actually been served a winding up order in 2014. That was actually the year that we won the league, and it was actually a really good season on the pitch, but off the pitch it was looking bad. And there are a lot of people, you know, saying this might be the last season of Northampton Town Football Club. So, you know, Kelvin Thomas, he's really given the team, the club, a lot of stability. I mean, I remember one of the first things that sticks out the season that he took over, we got a voice message from Shaquille O'Neal in America, the basketball player. Just, I think it was like motivating or congratulating the Northampton. And that's because, you know, obviously Kelvin Thomas, he's got great connections. He's a great businessman. So, yeah, that's one thing that really stood out to me. And it's a totally different style of ownership. I mentioned before, you know, kind of the necessity to be frugal. And Kelvin Thomas really, you know, he's really good at budgeting, I guess. And, you know, setting a budget, controlling the budget. So his ownership has really been great for the club. I mean, he's seen as a bit of a legend amongst the Northampton fans. You know, whenever he's comes on, you know, you'd see him on the sideline, he'd always get a big cheer. And that is just totally opposite what happened in the preceding years. As I've mentioned, we were in a bit of a sticky situation as part of plans to redevelop the East End.
Yep.
So the Northampton Council gave a loan of, I think it was £12 million.
Thereabouts.
However,
yeah.
they wrote it to the chairman of our club at the time, David Cardoza, and not actually to the football club. And it was unspecified what it was to be for. So that was a big loophole. And this scumbag, David Cardoza, I mean, I actually knew the guy because I played football with his son. So I actually, you know, I'd seen the guy around. I mean, I didn't really have a negative opinion of him at first, but he really turned out to be a scumbag. I mean, he ran off with a large proportion of that 12 million. You know, there were invoices on refurbishments of his house.
Yeah.
Really?
He put a bunch of assets in his wife's name, and then eventually they all moved to Canada. So,
total greed. Yeah, total greed.
Exactly. That East End is still unfinished, and it looks embarrassing to
any away fan that has travelled in the last 10 seasons.
Is there any
seasons?
Plans to get it finished?
They've just released the fact that it took so long. It does look nice, what they plan to do with it. I mean, there's going to be boxes and, you know...
I was going to say, have they made it bigger or just like a nicer stand?
No, it's just nicer. Nicer because
Northampton,
a hospitality is actually quite rated, but we don't have any, like, boxes, you know.
Right, okay.
So I'm sure that'll add, you know, an aspect to it.
And they're planning on developing the whole area behind the stands as well, which currently is just derelict old training pitch, which looks, quite frankly, awful.
You know, as we said with the winding up petition, you know, it's crazy because this man nearly affected the downfall of an entire club, you know. It's kind of crazy that football clubs could be treated as businesses, you know, given a winding up order, when obviously to other people, to the people surrounding the club, it's so much more.
Well, it's hundreds of years of history.
Yeah, it's
just down the drain from greed.
We've seen this now with a semi-local club to us in Eton, in the West Midlands. They were a non-league team with a bit of history, and they've just folded because of some stadium issues. And it's sad to see because football is something that really brings people together, inspires people.
In the last couple of years, you've seen it with EFL teams. Bury have gone under. Yeah. Bolton nearly went bust.
Reading
have had issues.
Yeah.
Like, corporate greed is ruining communities.
Yeah. You know, one man's greed can destroy everything, really, can't it?
Absolutely.
Made by the poor, stolen by the rich, eh?
Yeah,
there we go.
That's your quote for you.
And so, Rio, now on to the topic of next season. Yes. What are your hopes and expectations?
So, as we've mentioned before, a lot of it depends on that changing nature of the team. With football league clubs, it's kind of difficult because it's not like the Premier League where, you know, your team has these transfer targets. Or at least it's not publicly known.
No.
So, very often, like, there'll just be a surprise signing. You know, think of, you know, the likes of Apre. I mean, I don't think anyone expected this Scottish guy to come down when he arrived. So very often you'll just get some shock signings. So we'll have to see. But I think that core of the team is still definitely good enough to stay up. And I would like to push for a top half finish this season because we're a big club and I would like to see that happen. You know, a town of our size.
Biggest town in the UK.
Biggest town in the UK. Yeah. Of course, historically it's kind of been split between rugby and football in Northampton, so I would really like the football team to kind of take on that role because it is more popular amongst the, you know, ordinary person. You know, everyone supports the Cobblers, not everyone supports the Saints. I mean, and
just wondering, what's your opinion on your manager, John Brady?
Oh, he's I think he's actually now one of our longest serving managers.
Really? How long?
Yeah.
About 3 years, which is mental.
But I mean, start of the season, I was a bit critical of him, especially after that away loss to Port Vale.
Yeah.
I mean, I just thought the football that he was trying to play wasn't creative enough, wasn't positive enough. And, you know, we actually didn't play the most amazing football throughout the whole season. But John Brady's a man, you know, he knows how to grind out those results. He knows how to get the best out of his players.
That's what you need to do in those leagues.
Exactly. You know, you need a, in these leagues, you really need a leader, not a tactician. Mm. So John Brady's definitely the right man to lead us forward next season.
Do you agree, Ewan?
Yeah, I think there was very split beginning of the season, first four games. A lot of people Brady out, but I think he's definitely proved his worth over the course of the season, and he's a very popular man.
Yeah.
You just see after the final game of the season, everyone was singing his praises, and he's here to stay at least for the foreseeable. Who knows what will happen next season? But
I can't see him getting sacked next season unless we have an absolute disaster and finish bottom. I mean, even if we go down, I think there's a chance for John Brady.
Obviously, he took Q up, didn't he?
Yeah,
so he knows how to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's got the tools.
And now on to your player of the season. Who would obviously Mark Leonard won it for the club.
Yeah,
do you think that was a unanimous decision?
I think by the end it was, because basically every other player had, you know, an off patch. You know, they might have had a purple patch like Sam Hoskins at the start of the season, but then they really dropped off. And the only player that was consistently good, you know, throughout the whole season was actually Mark Leonard.
Mark Leonard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to say about Hoskins, because obviously season before last, League Two Player of the Year, exceptional, scored so many goals. Unfortunately, got injured in about January this season, and wasn't the same since. And
It was actually hard to watch at times, because he was a player with such confidence, you know, all throughout. But he kind of looked like a bit of a, you know, fish out of water when he went.
Well, he was getting dropped.
I mean, the end of the season.
Getting brought off in 60 minutes, dropped
for
some games.
Tactics changed around him. You know, those tactics really changed.
Yeah, because you have to adapt, don't you?
Exactly. So when he came back, it wasn't the same, and his touch had gotten worse for sure. I remember the last game of it, sorry, the last away day of the season. Second to last, sorry, Fleetwood. People were getting visibly, audibly angry at Hoskins, which I've actually
never seen.
Because, yeah, even before that, like, you know, he's such a club legend. You want to be kind of restrained in your criticism of him. But that was the first time I've actually seen people, you know.
I believe he was brought off at half-time that game as well, which just shows you everything
dire.
You need.
Yeah.
I've just got a question for both of you, because you've been to loads of away games this season. What's your favourite?
Ooh, it's
the overall day, everything involved, including the result, the place that you went to.
I really liked Lincoln away.
Right.
Because it was like that time, the turning point of the season.
Yeah.
So we went away to Lincoln. No one really went in there with any high hopes, but it was a great win. Lots of drinks. And
obviously.
Yeah, really just set the scene for the rest of the season to go as well as it did.
I think for me, it would have to be Charlton in, I think it was about February,
that was
maybe.
Incredible.
Was that the last minute?
Final minute, in front of the away end.
We had a few of those this season.
I think it was a midweek game as well, under lights in London. It was
it was great.
Pure vibes, great.
The worst?
Fleetwood, for sure.
I'd have said Port Vale for me.
I think Fleetwood, because it was so difficult to get up there.
Yeah.
You know, there's not even a train station in this little village. You know,
haven't you got to go to Blackpool and then
get a coach?
Coach over,
So yeah, that was bad, and it rained.
You already stayed
up
by then, though, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, you'd think
you
it
still
was a good turnout, and you'd think the players would care enough to put on a good show. And to make matters worse, it was heavily raining.
Not
whereas
what you
down.
Need.
In Northampton, it was about 20 degrees. So we just felt...
Northern weather, eh?
We all felt like we'd been mugged off by going up there.
And finally, to end, Rio, what is your go-to matchday pint?
Well, it's only one contender, really. It's got to be Carlsberg. Brewed in Northampton, one of the only two locations it's brewed. 3.7%, you know.
Not enough.
It's a session beer.
It's a session beer.
You don't want to be too drunk when you're watching your team play.
Sometimes you need to be.
tell you what, Fleetwood didn't actually have a bar, because it was, it was historically a really non-league team.
Well, obviously you went to Peterborough away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That
and I went to Peterborough away this year with Leeds.
Have a bar.
Awful. Absolutely awful.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. How they might even go up to the Championship this season. How?
I hope not.
It's
probably one of the scummiest clubs around. I mean, probably one of the scummiest places around.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
What would you say your favourite pint is, Ross? Matchday pint.
My favourite matchday pint. It's not Carlsberg, I'll tell you that for free. It is not Carlsberg. One of the worst beers out there.
I'm biased.
What, to Northampton? It gets brewed there?
Yeah.
Does it?
Northampton and Copenhagen.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
My... I've said before, Kronenbourg and Estrella, but I'll say another lager that I like, and I will go with... Ooh. I quite like a... Quite like a Marais.
Yeah.
Classic.
On match day,
Yeah.
It's a bit of a rogue choice for match day, to be honest. Yeah.
Why do you think that? What, a bit heavy?
Well, yeah, a bit heavy, bit expensive.
Yeah.
Well... Away day's a big day, isn't it? You've got to go for it, haven't you?
That's a big expense.
Yeah.
True. Facilitate
for
that.
What would you say, Ewan?
Oof, put me on the spot here, Rio.
Yeah.
I don't want to agree with you, but I do love a Carlsberg.
Yeah. No. Can't have the same answer. Got to go different.
Phipps. Another local brewery.
I'll go cheeky and I'll go for a cheap Carling.
That's another match day classic.
That's a match day pint for you.
Yeah.
Every ground will have it.
Yeah. But plastic bottles though, some places.
Yeah. Oh no, the plastic bottles just, I don't know what they do to the taste of beer, but they just make it so much worse. Especially the Carling plastic bottles actually.
Yeah.
The Carlsberg plastic bottles aren't too bad.
Do you ever get a pie with your pint?
I'm more of a sausage roll man, me, Ross.
You know what? I try not to because I don't want it to get too expensive of a day. But I mean,
just while the Carlsberg session,
football food prices have gone up astronomically.
Yeah, which is some of the cuisine now in bloody some of the like the Premier League Championship clubs.
Oh,
you have like a full like pizza.
We don't have any of that.
No, like it's going to Barnsley the other week, what, cheeseburger, slap plastic
burger,
cheese on the top of it.
Pies.
Yeah.
That's your lot. Sausage rolls.
And we got to the front of the queue and there was only vegan pies.
Oh, no.
Fuming.
You thought you were at Forest Green then.
Yeah, I know. Thank God they're down. They've gone down, haven't they? National League. The fact that Ipswich and Forest Green were in the same league last season.
I could not believe that when I saw that.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Really happy for Ipswich as well, going back up to the Premier League. Classic football club.
Classic, interesting.
Yeah.
Just beating out your team there, weren't they, Ross?
We'll move on. In terms of, obviously, League One playoffs, who do you fancy for it?
Ooh,
I've got to say, I fancy Bolton every day of the week.
I would love Oxford to go up to a championship.
Right.
Because that would just be interesting, you know. So... But we'll see. I mean, we're not in it, so I'm not heavily invested in it. So
yeah. Well, what do you think about some away games next season? Birmingham.
Oh, we've got a good few.
Birmingham,
down.
Huddersfield, and Rotherham.
Huddersfield, Rotherham, and then coming up, MK might be coming up.
Yeah.
So
got Wrexham.
Good.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to Wrexham away.
Yeah.
I don't like Wrexham. Got some.
No. It just feels. I don't like that guy that took it over.
Reynolds. Oh,
bit of an annoying. Yank.
I'd like to go to the MK Don Stadium though, just to see how empty it is. Do you know, like,
it's stunningly empty.
How much does it hold? Like,
30,000.
And there's two tiers, and not even the first tier gets full, and it just looks awful. Yeah. I think the only time it got full was when they played. I was there actually when they played Man United in the League Cup a few years back.
4-0 win. That was
4-0 win. That was a
did Will Grigg score?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, what a player.
Yeah. I mean, we also had United visiting us. Mm. That was when Ibrahimovic played for them, actually. Yeah.
How's this, though? Crawley's playoff yesterday getting cancelled because of waterlogged pitch.
That's ridiculous.
In the I just don't get it.
I mean, Crawley is a bit Tim Port.
Yeah, but the whole pitch, right, yesterday was absolutely flooded, and they think, oh, yeah, in 24 hours it's just going to magically go away.
I guess they've got to try and...
They've got to put it on
exactly.
Because I don't know what happens if it gets cancelled again. Is it 3-0 winter?
To forfeit, yeah.
3-0 winter,
that's
MK.
That's the problem with their pitch.
Yeah.
Know, yeah, Crawley. I remember when Crawley came up to Northampton a few years back. They had something like 20 fans in the away fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And the announcer actually read out the name of every fan.
Because he knew he could,
Yeah. So...
That's funny.
Quite Tim Pot.
I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. Thank you to both Ross and Rio for joining me.
Cheers, it was a pleasure.
Cheers, thank
you. Chiwami!
Join us next week when Daniel George will be taking you into the boardroom at Carrow Road with Norwich City. But until then, You've been listening to Who's in Charge?